Let's check it out. Come on.
The Big Apple Circus has rolled into town. It's a cool, fun, one-ring circus with horses, acrobats, and a wonderful clown. Sure, the tent is air-conditioned, the seats are comfortable, but it's still reminiscent of those good old days when the circus came to town to delight those from near and far. For the past 2 weeks, the Big Apple Circus has been performing on the shores of Lake George, New York. Tonight begins the final weekend of the run and of the 2011-2012 season. The Big Apple Circus gave its first performance July 18, 1977, under a small green canvas big top planted in the shadow of the World Trade Center on a Manhattan landfill that was to become Battery Park City. Since then, it has grown and now tours extensively. Although its performers come from all around the planet, the Big Apple Circus developed over the years a very distinctive New York style. Its shows are built around a theme, renewed each year. Different story, different costumes, set, music, lighting, and different show directors, choreographers, designers. We often think of kids growing up and joining the circus, but for the many performers I chatted with at Big Apple, they were born into it and never left. Their first steps were taken in the ring, and they were performing shortly after the necessity of diapers. These are young men and women, in their 20s and 30s, who have seen the big top rise and fall with their parents and grandparents teaching them along the way. Jenny Vidbell is a third-generation circus performer and animal trainer who grew up traveling with her grandparents and their animals in various circuses throughout the U.S. At the age of 12, she trained her first pony and presented him at her grandparents' own show, Vidbell's Old Time Circus, which he later owned and managed.
It's not a job, it is a lifestyle. It's what I know. It's what I like to say that I was babysat by three elephants growing up. And that kind of changes things, you know. I can't be away from the animals, so they're just a part of my life. In my situation, it's just sort of natural, very natural.
There is the performance aspect of what you're doing in that ring with the animals, but then, of course, there's also that relationship that you have with them for the other 23 hours and 56 minutes. So what is that like? Because it is your life. That is a lifestyle. But you have to know these animals very well.
Yeah, this is my life. It's what I think about before I go to bed. It's what I think about when I wake up in the morning. The idea of a vacation to get away from it all is just ridiculous for me. You know, if I have to go to the supermarket, I get anxious to come back. It's magic for me when I get up at 6 in the morning and I'm in the circus ring all by myself training. It's one of my favorite times of the day. And then to carry on and to get to perform and show my animals off to an audience, it's wonderful.
I assume that your parents or grandparents are proud of what you do.
I think so, yeah. I followed in my grandfather's footsteps, you know, and I've kind of been doing everything he did. And he was with me when I first started. I was 11 years old. I got my first pony, and he was by my side throughout my life until we lost him a couple of years ago. But he traveled with the Ringling Brothers with me. Both my grandparents did, and watched me very carefully here as well. And Big Apple Circus was where I always wanted to be, and where they, you know, that was their dream for me as well. So here I am, and it's a great place to be.
Dmitry Chernoff is just 24 years old, and even though he not only balances the items he juggles, he also juggles going to college and performing. For Dmitry, it all began as a toddler, when he was welcomed into the ring as a young clown.
First, my appearance in the circus ring was there with the famous in the world, the clown Oleg Popov, and I was maybe about 3-4 years old. As the professional juggler, I start to perform from the 5 years old with my parents, with my father.
So it is, here again, as we heard from Jenny, it's a way of life. It's how you grew up.
Yes, this is the life. It's not just a job. It's circus in our life. It's very special.
Is there a point where you get to make a decision, or is it just sort of assumed that this is what you will do in your life?
This is, I said, it's very special, but at the same time, I'm studying in the university. This is my last year at PR. I'm studying PR management, and but circus, as I say, in my life, in my soul, you know, in my blood, you know, and I think I'll be in a circus long, long time.
What does it take to be a good juggler?
A lot of practicing, I think. A lot of practicing, because we're practicing all day long. And you drop again, you juggle, you drop again. And it's very hard before you try to make these tricks in the ring when the people watching audience, you know, and it's very hard.
The objects that you juggle, explain. You have one point where there are these white balls, and what are they made out of?
Yeah, my ball is rhythmic gymnastic balls.
For those of us who are listening on the radio and don't get to see you and you're in costume, but how many are there ultimately?
In the show, I'm making this seven gymnastic balls. But in the practice, I'm practicing to make the nine. So already in the practice, I can make it. But in the show, when you're nervous, it's very hard to make it with the first or second time. You have few chances to make it. It's very hard, but soon I hope I'll be making the nine large ball, which is the record. So
for the audience, you know, you've impressed us at like three. So then when you go to six or seven, well, that's amazing. So then when you work toward nine, that's more for you than for anybody else, isn't it?
Yeah, this is true, because some jugglers just make the 5 minutes with the three balls. Some jugglers make the maximum the five balls, but they're so amazing and people respect it, they like it, but it's more for me, maybe self-satisfaction or something. I don't know how to explain, but it's for me the most important. I don't want to make it separate. It's same that I want to make it the good quality three, four, five balls, and at the same time I want to show the people, audience, the record of the juggling.
As you said, you've been doing it since a child. And at what point were you always comfortable in the ring, or did there come a point where you said, okay, I'm okay with this?
I remember when I was a kid, I was practicing and dreaming about to be in the ring, performing, and the first show is was so nervous, and I was very nervous. And after I was getting more experience and was okay, but every show you're little but nervous, little. And it's still now, but as we say, if you're nervous, it means you care what you're doing. And because if you're not nervous, that means you don't care what you're doing.
And there's such precision, and you obviously, you have this game face on during the performance, but you're aware of where the balls are and what's going on at all times.
My light, yeah, it's dark, and I have a very original costume, which is made by me and my father. The Big Apple Circus made a design especially for this show.
When you see people who juggle like just crazy stuff, you know, chainsaws and things, do you ever think, oh, I'd like to do that?
You mean the other stuff to juggle?
Yeah.
In the practice, I juggle the other stuff, but, you know, my father, also a juggler, and juggle with the large balls, and I decide to be like my father and do this generation of the large balls juggling.
When Chernoff performs, you can see him keeping an eye on each object, keenly of where they are, where they've been, and where they're going. It is done effortlessly, elegantly even, a skill he learned, no doubt, from the crib. For trapeze artist Alex Cortez, the love of performing and flying through the air with the greatest of ease came from watching three generations before him doing just that.
Yeah, I mean, from an early age, because of generations, you know, you watch your parents, your uncles doing all kinds of stuff on these aerial apparatuses, and you learn from a young age that you love to do that just by watching them.
What is it like to say, okay, this isn't something that part of my childhood, but now this is going to be my profession, this is what I'm going to do for my life?
Well, at least for me, I didn't realize that till later on in life. It was always just fun and games, you know. It was always, I really loved doing it, I really loved the training, I really loved practicing. And then when it was time for me to go to school, if I wanted to continue on and go to college or to continue doing flying trapeze and being in the circus, I realized that going to school had nothing to do with being in the circus, and this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So it was probably like in my mid-teens, I want to say, that I realized that, yeah.
You perform with your brother.
Yes.
And is there comfort in that, or can that be as as trying as many of us think a sibling relationship can be at times.
Well, we've been performing together for nearly 30 years. So, it definitely gives a little bit of comfort knowing that there's somebody else up there that knows exactly what they're doing, and I don't have to worry about what everybody else is doing. And, yes, we are siblings, and we have our little conflicts here and there, but not as much as you would think. But, yeah, definitely gives you a little bit of comfort that there's somebody that you can definitely trust. I mean, we're risking our lives up there every single day. It's definitely dangerous. We're up in the, we're 30-something feet in the air, and it's definitely a good thing that I know that he knows what he's doing, and vice versa.
And he basically catches you, right?
Yes, he hangs by his knees and he catches all the members in the troop, yes.
So when you go, when you leave where you are and you're headed toward him, is it instinct that tells you that it's going to land, or are you thinking about it at every moment of where you have to be to make sure that the connection is made?
At this point in time in my life and in my career, beings that I've been doing it for so long, it's definitely instinct at this point. The only time that I really have to concentrate on something is when I learn something new, something that I haven't done, 100,000 times over and over again. But for the most part, all the stuff that we do in the show, we don't just throw stuff in. We practice it for hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months. And but at this point in time, all the stuff that you would see in the show is pretty much on instinct. I have to be able to make that distinction between each individual and see where they're at and then have to deal with them in a certain way, each one of them. Some of them are very nervous and very scared right before they take off, so I have to reassure them in what they're doing, and others are just really confident, and I just look at them and just say, oh, you got it, so, and they know what's going on.
What do you think, I don't know how much you've thought about this, but what is it about us, the audience, that wants to see you in danger?
I think it goes with anything. When we're driving down the street and there's a car accident, we all slow down just a little bit to see what's going on really quick, really fast, And I think that excites everybody just a little bit. Why? I don't know. I mean, is it human nature? I don't know.
But you can avoid the car wreck. But, we look and we're obviously rooting for you. We in the audience are, unless most people, but I think we're rooting for you, which I assume feeds you in some way.
Definitely, that gives me the fuel every day to do what I'm doing. I don't know, excitement maybe, seeing somebody do something that they can't do, at least not now because they've never tried it. Not to say that people sitting in the audience can't. There are many people who can, if they put the time and effort and training into it. But maybe that's what it is, seeing somebody do something that they maybe have never seen, or something that they know that they wouldn't be able to do, so that's kind of exciting to them as well. I feed off of the audience response, and that's something that I love, but I guess I've never been asked that question before.
The Big Apple Circus's tents will come down for this season on Sunday in the Village of Lake George, but there is still plenty of time to see these amazing performers this weekend. They have 10 performances left, performing twice a day today through Sunday. You can find out more by going to bigapplecircus.org. BigAppleCircus.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.